You are Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network and FanRag Sports. What's up, everybody? How's it going? My name's Patrick Zajac, your host of Locked On Angels, minor league play-by-play broadcaster and first-row rider of that emotional sports roller coaster. That is Angels baseball. Welcome to your daily Angels update here on Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network and FanRag Sports. I want to preface this episode. I want to say I'm sorry if I'm a little, maybe seem down in the dumps tonight. I'm recording this after simultaneously watching, you know, both the Angels exhibition game, which ended in a sort of a shitty situation, if you will, a little pun action against the Dodgers there. That game gets called early due to what looks like a sewage pipe break. Just underneath third base there on the field. Definitely haven't seen that before. That's for damn Skippy. On the other side of the coin, also a big game for the Anaheim Ducks, which I don't want to delve into too much on the show because we are Locked On Angels, not Locked On Ducks. But a tough loss as an Anaheim sports fan to take that one in against the Vancouver Canucks. So let's just say the mood is a little less than stellar as we get things recording for you on Wednesday, March 28th now, episode 27 of Locked On Angels, our Mike Trout episode, if you will. Today coming at you, it's going to be a predictions-heavy episode to get you guys ready for opening day. I'll be giving my World Series picks, who I think is going to make the playoffs from both the American League and the National League. And then you guys weigh in. Let me know how I do on Twitter, what you guys think, at Locked On Angels, of course. That's where you can find us. And before I get into that, you know, I was watching, I'm a big proponent, and I don't think I've shared this yet. I have brought up Emily, my girlfriend, before. We lived together, whatnot. Big proponent of the two TV living room. Now, I don't know if any of you guys out there have the same setup, but two TV living room. Let me paint the picture for you here. So we got our 56-inch television. That's the main guy. That's the plasma screen. That's my pride and joy. And then just beneath that, we split, went halvesies on a little 32-inch TV right next to that. Two TV living room. Highly, highly recommend for all you couples living together, simply because on nights like today, fantastic. Angels game on one TV, Ducks game on the smaller one. I can keep track of both. And Emily's a trooper. She goes along with it. But more often than not, what happens is, you know, I got a sports game I want to watch. I'm Mr. Sports Guy, especially Angels during the season, regular season. You know, put that guy on the 32-incher and let Emily watch her terrible reality show television. And the lineup that she watches is just, it's tough. I'm just going to say that it's tough. Not my cup of tea, most of what she watches. But hey, what a two TV living room allows you to do is you have that togetherness. You have that bond time, if you will. You get to be in the same room together all while watching what you both love and not having to compromise for it. I don't have to, you know, pull out my phone to watch the Angel game on MLB TV or anything like that. I got a regular TV that I can watch it on, and she gets her thing. It's the best of both worlds. And if you guys have it, I highly recommend it because, like I said, unlike, you know, where you have the typical living room and then man cave situation, then you're in separate rooms. You're apart from each other. You're not interacting. There's no, like, crossover there where I can make snide comments on her shows every now and then, or I can freak her out when I celebrate in the middle of something awesome happening in one of the games that I'm watching. Highly, highly recommend the two TV living room for all you guys living with your women anywhere you may be. We've got listeners all over the country, all over the world, I've found in some of the statistics about our podcast. But two TV living room, try it out. Highly, highly, highly. 10 out of 10, would recommend. All right. Let's get to those predictions. So, prediction time. Everybody's doing it. What do I think about this season? I'm going to start. Let's start in the National League, what I'm thinking there. I'll save the American League and the American League West, where I think the Angels are at, and if they'll make the playoffs this season. National League East, think the easiest division to predict. Your winner is going to be the Washington Nationals, the class of that NL East. Miami Marlins are probably the worst team in baseball, given that they've shipped everybody out there and are going through, I don't even know if you can call it a rebuild, as much as it is just, you know, out with the old, in with, I don't even know if you can call it the new, but it's different. It's something. I don't know what the Marlins are doing. You got the Phillies, who intrigue me in the National League East, and I think they're kind of my sneaky pick, much like the Oakland A's in the American League. I'm not saying that they're going to make the playoffs, but I think a team that, you know, could be within, say, 4 or 5 games of a playoff spot going into September, I think the Phillies can surprise a lot of people. I think the Phillies finished second in the National League East ahead of the New York Mets. Atlanta Braves, of course, also rebuilding. They'll have some promising young prospects coming up through their system. I believe they have the most prospects in most top 100 publications. Ronald Acuna, of course, at the top of the list. Philadelphia Phillies, keep an eye on them. We talked about Scott Kingery earlier in the week. They of course, also signing Jake Arrieta to that 3-year deal. So, lot to like about what the direction the Phillies are going. Also, Carlos Santana, who I thought at the start of the offseason would have been a decent fit with the Angels, given his high on-base percentage, ability to set the table for the entire lineup. Now, the Angels, of course, have Ian Kinsler there to fill that need, who has what looks like a little bit of a groin injury. That's why he's been out the last couple of exhibition games for Mike Socha's men. Questionable is his status for opening day. And we also found out, while I'm on the Angels updates, kind of a little aside when talking about the National League East here, Matt Shoemaker has been designated the starter for Saturday's game, a spot that we thought we were going to see Shohei Ohtani on the mound. So still no word exactly on when Ohtani will be the mound. I would say more than likely on Sunday. I doubt you want Ohtani in the home opener on Monday, but maybe that's the thinking. I don't know. You want this guy jacked and full of adrenaline. He's already going to be absolutely amped and locked in whenever he makes his first mound debut. But home opener, that could be something special that fans will be talking about for quite some time. Anyways, National League East, the Nationals are the runaway there. One of the best lineups in baseball, one of the top 5 rotations in baseball with Max Scherzer, who's right up there with Clayton Kershaw in the National League. Of course, Bryce Harper, who's going to be the free agent after this season. All eyes there. This really could be the last chance for the Nationals, at least as the team is currently constructed. Could that window of opportunity be just one season longer? Their whole offseason is going to revolve around Bryce Harper. And I think I have the Nationals finally winning a playoff series, just as a sneak preview for this upcoming season. Nationals, runaway winners. And I don't think your wild card member comes out of the National League. Because as we shift gears to the Central, you guys know I work for the Eugene Emeralds. And disclaimer, Emeralds are a Chicago Cubs affiliate, though we are in a short season level, of course, so a little bit far off from Wrigley Field. I think the Cubs, one of the more balanced teams in baseball. There's a reason why they've been to the NLCS 3 years in a row. I don't think they repeat that feat, but I certainly think they win the division. No real championship hangover to deal with this time around. Their slow start in 2017 allowed the Brewers to stay in the race for the division a lot longer than I thought they should have. And with that balanced lineup, you got Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo. Kyle Schwarber looks absolutely phenomenal this offseason. Still got Javi Baez and Addison Russell up the middle. Former Eugene Emerald Ian Happ figures to have a big spot in that lineup this season. And that dude can just flat out wake up and hit a baseball. Not to mention the rotation, adding Yu Darvish. You still have Kyle Hendricks, Jose Quintana. That's a fantastic 1, 2, and 3. This team is deep. This team is young. That's something we've been saying for the past few years. I don't think that changes. I do have a wild card winner coming out of the National League Central, and that's the St. Louis Cardinals. You know, I feel like we don't know too much about the Cardinals going into any season because they are the model organization for Major League Baseball in that they'll just continually replenish their big league roster with their own guys coming up through the minors. And I think that gets it done with them. The rotation no longer too reliant on Adam Wainwright, who has slowed up, but it wouldn't surprise me to have a bounce back season. Tommy Pham broke out in a big way in 2017, manning the outfield. You got former Angel Randall Grichuk, or I should say formerly in the Angels organization, Randall Grichuk in there. I really, truly love what the Cardinals are doing. How could you not? They do everything a model franchise, with the exception of the little probe into, I think it was what they were spying on the Houston Astros organization, that sort of thing. I think the Cardinals a bounce back year. It's not too often that the Cardinals have an elongated postseason drought. I think they break that and nab a wild card spot this year. Rest of the division, I expect the Brewers to be big contenders. Love what they did with Christian Yelich and Lorenzo Cain. I think much like last year, they kind of missed the boat at the very end, though they'll be in contention all throughout, and Pirates, Reds, still rebuilding. Although I like the upside of the Reds sometime in the future, even though they do lose Zach Cozart, Joey Votto, one of the best hitters in baseball. But this is the Cubs division to win. Brewers and Cardinals both contending, and I think the Cardinals eke out a wild card spot, because I also have two playoff teams in the National League West. LA Dodgers, much as it pains me to say, as a fellow Angel along with you guys, LA Dodgers going to run away with that division. They are the class, and it's really a three-horse race coming down to the wire for a final wild card spot and for second in that National League West. You got the Giants, you got the Rockies and the Diamondbacks, Colorado and Arizona, both as wild card contenders last year. I'm going with the Rockies. I love what they're doing with the bullpen, the tons of signings that they made, including adding Wade Davis into the fold, even though their rotation has a few questions. You got Charlie Blackmon and Nolan Arenado carrying that lineup, along with DJ LeMahieu, who I think is scheduled to be a free agent this offseason. Would not mind the Angels making a run at DJ LeMahieu. It would be a perfect fit for the void that will be left from Ian Kinsler after this season. We'll see how that plays out. Obviously, that's well a ways away. But Rockies, phenomenal bullpen, at least on paper, and they'll always, always, always hit at Coors Field. I think this time they nab that playoff spot. Rockies, Cardinals in that wild card spot. So, division winners, you got Dodgers. I'm going to say they have the best record in the National League. Then, in the other division series matchup, you'll have the Cubs against the Nationals. I think the Nationals finally take this one, finally win themselves a playoff series, beat that curse that has it seemingly engulfed them for so long. Beat the Cubs there. I'm not going to throw out how many games. Then you got the Dodgers against the Rockies, Cardinals winner. And I'm going to go with the Rockies in this one. They get revenge after losing to Arizona in the wild card game there. But the Dodgers take care of business against the Rockies. You got Dodgers. You got Nationals. Give me the Nationals coming out of the National League with that rotation, with that lineup. I'm telling you, I think this is the year that the Nationals finally make it to that World Series. So full of promise. Trey Turner at shortstop can absolutely fly. You got Anthony Rendon, who's one of the most underrated players in all of baseball. Not to mention Daniel Murphy at second base, Bryce Harper, who I mentioned. Ryan Zimmerman had a great 2017. Talent all three, and not forget Adam Eaton, who was hurt most of 2017, now returns, could be a mainstay at that top of the lineup, setting the table for everybody else. This is a deep, deep lineup, and as I mentioned, the horses that you have in the rotation. The Nationals have something special. They've always had the talent on paper, but have never gotten it done in the postseason. This is the year. I'm going to go on record as saying Nationals, your National League pennant winner. Let's get to the American League, where in the AL East, everyone's smitten with the Yankees, and it's hard to blame them. You got Giancarlo Stanton into the fold with Aaron Judge. They're more than likely going to lead all of baseball in home runs as they play in that little league stadium of Yankee Stadium for half of their ball games. But fearless prediction, the Red Sox take the division. I love Mookie Betts. I love the addition of J.D. Martinez. The rotation, plenty of question marks there with David Price, Rick Porcello, Drew Pomeranz having a little bit, I think it was forearm tightness or dealing with that here in the spring training. But so a shaky in the rotation there, but I think this team can put up just as good of an offense as the Yankees can. I think it'll be a close down-to-the-wire race for the division. I have the Red Sox just eking out the Yankees for that division lead. And don't discredit the Toronto Blue Jays. A sneaky deep rotation that's headlined by Marcus Stroman and Aaron Sanchez. We don't talk about the Blue Jays enough. Josh Donaldson in a contract year, going to be a free agent this offseason, very loaded free agent class. I would not be shocked to see, you know, the Toronto Blue Jays battling it out for that final wild card spot. I'll give the Yankees the top wild card spot after losing out to the Red Sox there in that division. Toronto Blue Jays, sneaky good team, and the Tampa Bay Rays, a lot of teams, a lot of people also have them as a dark horse team. I don't really see it. They're going starting the season with a four-man rotation and too many question marks. The ability for them to sell a guy like Chris Archer for prospects at the deadline is very real. I see them certainly as a team going full rebuild towards the middle of the season, and the Baltimore Orioles are an absolute train wreck right now. Manny Machado, he's on limited time with the Orioles there. If they don't trade him by the deadline, he'll certainly be gone this offseason, and then they'll start their full-scale rebuild as well. Baltimore might end up having the worst record in the American League. I would not be surprised to see that at season's end. So right now, yeah, give me the Red Sox, give me the Yankees as the first wild card, and the Blue Jays, I'm not going to say if they get that final wild card spot. I want to get to the rest of the divisions. The AL Central, again, I think you have four elite teams in the American League. I think we can all agree with that, right? You have the Astros, you have the Indians in the Central, and you have the Red Sox and Yankees in the East, and everybody else is kind of battling it out in that second tier. Cleveland Indians take the division, I think by a fairly wide margin. Even though the Minnesota Twins made some noise last year, they have significant rotation question marks, and I don't think they have the upside of a rotation like the Angels does, where if the Angels' rotation stays healthy, I think they're far and away deeper and more talented, and with a true ace atop the rotation in Garrett Richards than anything that the Minnesota Twins can offer. And it remains to be seen if they can repeat off what was a surprise 2017. I like Byron Buxton, as do most people. Very athletic guy. Must watch TV in every ball game that he plays. Brian Dozier had a big 2017. You never know what you're going to get with the wildly erratic Miguel Sano. But there's a lot to like about this Minnesota Twins team. And a team that I would not be surprised to also make a little bit of noise, even though I think they're about a year or two away from truly, truly putting it together. Chicago White Sox. They made a lot of big trades in recent years, have one of the best farm systems in all of baseball. A lot of talent coming through that White Sox system. I would not be surprised, even as early as 2019, that team starts to show real promise of a true playoff contender somewhere down the line. Royals and Tigers, they're pretty much hitting rebuild mode. Tigers are on full rebuild, while the Royals kind of waiting to press that button as they get Mike Moustakas back. Not too much to like there. So that's how I see the AL Central playing out this season. Minnesota Twins contending for a final wild card spot, but ultimately not enough there for me to get too excited about their chances. American League West, where our Angels reside, let's be honest with ourselves. It's the Houston Astros division, and it probably will be for the foreseeable future. The position players all around the diamond are absolutely loaded with young talent for the Astros, between Carlos Correa, Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman, George Springer. Throw in veterans like Josh Reddick out in right field, and this is a team that is just stacked for years to come. Offensively, they'll have the best offense in baseball, and oh yeah, an argument to be made for the best pitching rotation as well in Major League Baseball, with Justin Verlander. You bring in Gerrit Cole into the fold. Lance McCullers had a phenomenal end to his 2017 season. There's a lot of horses in that Astros rotation. Lot to love about that entire organization. My most enviable roster in Major League Baseball belongs to the Houston Astros. You know, give them credit. The tank job worked to absolute perfection for the Houston Astros. I've gone on record saying that I think the Oakland A's can make some noise this year. I think they finished third in the American League West, Mariners and Rangers a little bit behind them. The Angels, you know, I'm optimistic about this season. As many questions as I have about this roster, most notably in the rotation and the bullpen, I think the bullpen takes a step back. The rotation surprises us, and the lineup will be much improved because Billy Epler did a great job in adding proven major league veterans at dire positions of need: left field, second base, and third base. After all the problems that the Angels have in recent seasons, you have added a guy at each of those three positions that has a career OPS at least over 100 points better than anything that the Angels have trotted out in the last two seasons at each of those three positions. Keep in mind, folks, last season, the Angels, I believe, were around 14th somewhere in the teens in runs scored in the American League. Close to last place in terms of offensive production in the American League last season. This is where you see the biggest jump. Albert Pujols looks good this spring, hitting the ball well. That's where you're going to see the biggest improvement, and that's where I think this team can truly rise as a contender. For that second wild card spot, it comes down to the Angels and the Blue Jays for me personally. I see the Twins potentially hanging around in there, and like I said, gone on record as saying the Oakland A's as well can make some noise there, but man, give me the Angels. I think I would have a mutiny on my hands if I didn't pick the Angels for the playoffs. So give me the Angels in that second wild card spot, setting up a matchup with the New York Yankees. And man, I like to say they win that game because Mike Trout does something unbelievable. You have Mike Trout back in the playoffs, he probably does something spectacular. And you take care of business there. I think the Houston Astros walk away with the best record of the American League, and that sets up a division series, Angels-Astros. Astros take that. I can't go against the Astros there. Astros in the division series there. Other side of the coin, Red Sox-Indians. Give me the Sox. Setting up Sox-Astros. I can't go against the Astros. I'm going Astros. It's an Astros-Nationals World Series. And, man, I mean, call me crazy. I truly think the Astros are still the best team in baseball. They improved their team from last year, and everyone has come back from that 2017 championship run. This team, top to bottom, has the lineup, has the rotation. As I mentioned in talking about our Houston Astros prediction a couple of weeks ago on this show, the Houston Astros are projected to have not only the most wins above replacement coming from any lineup in baseball offensively, but also from any pitching staff as a whole this season. Projection-wise, the best of both worlds. You can't go against the Astros. Astros over Nationals in the World Series, and we see a back-to-back World Series champion for the first time ever. I hope I'm wrong on that regard. I hope the Angels make a deep run, and I hope this year is something special. But, man, just give me playoff baseball again, man. It's one out of the last 8 years the Angels have played postseason ball, and that was short-lived with the sweep at the hands of the Kansas City Royals. I need postseason baseball back in my life, not that I don't enjoy watching it as a neutral observer and as a baseball fan in general, but I need my Angels back in there. I think we can all agree with that. There's something just so special watching your team play October baseball. And more than that, you got to have the best players playing this game in the postseason. We need Mike Trout. I think every baseball fan can agree we need Mike Trout in the playoffs. And this team, I think there are more ways than not that this team has a successful season and makes the playoff than doesn't. I've talked about the volatility of this roster, you know, health concerns with the rotation, the rebound ability of the bullpen to repeat on what was a very successful 2017 season for them. I know I've gone hot and cold with both sides of the coin there, but again, I think there are more scenarios where the Angels are successful both in the rotation and the bullpen and the lineup just as a team as a whole than there are where scenarios where things go poorly. I know I've gone on record saying that I could see this team winning 90 games. I could see this team winning 70 games. And I think more than likely they settle somewhere a tick below 90. I'm going to say anywhere from 86 to 88. That's kind of where I'm seeing this team end up, just good enough to be a second wild card. Maybe win that wild card game, do something special at Yankee Stadium or Fenway Park, whoever that first wild card spot is. I think that's coming out of the AL East, though. And then we go from there. You got Mike Trout. You got the best player. You always got a shot. Maybe not as much as base in baseball as in any other sport, given that there are less guys on the field at once. But give me Mike Trout. I'll take my chances all day long. I want to see that guy in September baseball. Let me know what you guys thought of my predictions. I know not too exciting as far as the division winners go. I think you just have some clear-cut teams that are better than others. I think the only surprising pick I really made was the American League East there. Everybody else, it's hard to pick against any of those teams winning a division, but if teams are going to surprise, put me down for the Phillies in the National League and the A's in the American League as surprise teams that come out of nowhere to contend, a la the Brewers in 2017 and a la the Twins out of the American League last season. It could happen. Quick turnarounds do happen. That's the beauty of baseball. The game is so volatile. It's a game of inches, as they always say. So let me know what you guys thought of my predictions, what your predictions are for the Angels this season, how far they can go, how far you think they will end up going. Opening day right around the corner, depending on when you're listening to this episode, less than 24 hours away. Well, guys, as always, I'm Pat Zajac. You can find me at Other Pat Zajac on Twitter. Most importantly, follow the show. Opening day's right around the corner at Locked On Angels on Twitter. Subscribe, rate, review, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play. We're there for your ears to listen to. Love having you guys. And now, finally, actual baseball to talk about very, very soon. Cannot wait. Have a great hump day, guys. 2TV Living Room. Do it. Men, do it, do it, do it. Take it easy, guys. Peace.